We're on the top of Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph. Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph is the beginning of today's daf, and we're a few lines down from the top, and the Gemara starts, the Sovar Rav Yossi Ein Brera. We proved from the Braisa called Halokeach Yayin, and we'll review again just the broad sketches of that braisa, that Rabbi Yossi rejects the halacha of brera, and therefore lokech yayin, a person buys wine from kusim, and the kusim were not reliable as far as trumas or maisus is concerned. If he wants to drink the wine, so he can make a declaration that tomorrow I'll be mafrish 2 out of 100 of the lugim for trumas, truma gedola for the kohen, and then from the remainder I'll be mafrish maser rishon for the levi, and from what's left I will be mafrish maser sheni. And Rabbi Yossi is quoted together with Rabbi Shimon, Osrim. These two tanoim reject the possibility that tomorrow, when he decides which of the lugim will be truva and maser sheni, that cannot operate l'mafreya retroactively to make his original afrosha valid. And the Gemara asks for a tanan, but we have a Mishnah in Kinim, and that Mishnah contradicts what we saw here in the Braisa of halokech yayin. So again, if we had a whiteboard, we would write the following. Braisa number one is Halokeach Yayin. Rabbi Yossi says, Ein Brera. Now we get to a Mishnah in Kinim, which is going to be on the other side of the equation. And that's going to prove to us that Rabbi Yossi holds Yesh Brera. And we're left with a head-on collision, a contradiction between one Braisa, in which Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera, and another Braisa, in this case, a Mishnah, actually, which is even on a higher level than a Braisa, and Rav Yossi says, Yesh Brera. Now, in order to appreciate Masecht Kinim in general, and certainly this is from the first Mishnayos in the Masecht Kinim, we have to know that the Torah commands a Yoledes, after she gives birth, to bring a Keves Li'ola and a Ben Yona or a Tar Lechatos. That's if she has solid financial basis so she could buy a keves li'ola, and then the chatos comes from a bird. So she's obligated to both an ola and a chatos, the ola from an animal and the chatos from a bird. But if it's ein yada maseges, if she's on a financially lower level, and therefore she cannot afford to designate a keves as an ola, then she brings shtei torim, or shnei bnei yona, a pair of birds, and one of those two birds will be an ola, the other will be a chatos. And all this is codified by the Torah in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis. A zav has a similar halacha. He also has to bring a pair in the context of purification from his status as a zav. And the din now that we're going to study from Rabbi Yossi is going to apply not just to a Yoledes, which is mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah in Kinim, but also to a Zav. Now, what happens is there are two women, both are Yoldos, or for that matter, both are Zavos, and they decided to sort of pool their funds and purchase together two kinim. A ken is a pair of birds, so they bought two birds and two birds. In other words, four birds all told. That's called shtei kinei ofos. So Rabbi Yossi says it's fine, even though they haven't designated which bird will be for the ola for which of these two women, which bird will be an ola for the other one, and which bird will be a chatos for this one, and which a chatos for the other one. So lachu es kinem bi eruv. Eruv means they bought it together as a mixture. So we now have two pairs made up of four ofos, all told, for the korban oseim. And it's all a partnership. And they haven't clarified which Ken belongs to which of these two ladies, Rachel or Leah. Oh, in an alternative case mentioned by Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, instead of purchasing these two kinim, meaning these four birds, Nasnu Dmei Kineim Lekoin, they just put the money together in a bag, and they transfer the bag over to the Kohen. He's going to be makriv their karbanos on their behalf. And Rabbi Yossi says everything is fine. Eze Sheyirtza Kohen, Yakriv Ola. The Kohen will decide which one of these two pairs he wants to be makriv as an Ola. Notice he's going to take two ofos from one Ken, and he's going to designate one for Rachel and one for Leah. Uliezer Sheyirtza Yakriv Chatos, from the second Ken, which has two birds in it, he's going to decide that one is a Chatos on behalf of Rachel, the other on behalf of Leah. And the fact that the decision is going to be made post facto, in other words, subsequent to the actual purchase in the first case, or in the case of the Kohen, he hasn't even bought the Kinim yet, and later on he's going to decide at the time of the Akrova which one will be Makar for which, and which will be an Ola, which will be a Chatos. All these decisions are going to be Chal Lemafreya, retroactively. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yossi holds Yesh Breira. And that means Huvar Adover Lemafreya. We will now clarify retroactively that these birds that he's being Makriv are for Rachel as an Ola and a Chatos, and they belong to her. And which of the birds are being brought as a Chatos and Ola for Leah? Because if you would hold Ein Breira, and that's what we saw Rabbi Yossi in the case of Halukech Yayim and Akusim, that Rabbi Yossi disqualified that kind of hafrasha that was undefined, that tomorrow I'll decide which lugim will be maser, which will be truma, that's invalid. Here, in contrast, Rabbi Yossi validates the two akravos, so the two kinim on behalf of Rachel and Leah, the two yoldos, even though it's possible, when you think about it, that the oaf that's being brought for the sake of Rachel might have actually belonged to Leah. In other words, it's only later on that we can decide how to match up these two kinim with these two ladies, both of whom are chayav in a karban yoledes. So how do we reconcile the stira between Rabbi Yossi's position in the Brice of Lokech Yain Ein Breira and Rabbi Yossi's position here in the Mishnah and Kinim Yesh Breira? Amar Rabba Hasam Kishe Hisnu. Okay, so we'll translate the statement of Rabba, and we'll try to figure out if we can understand it. It's very, very complicated. Rabba introduces another variable into the equation, and that's Tnai. Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Breira, and that we saw from the Brice of Lokech Yayin. The reason why, in the case of two women of Yoldos, and they bought their Kinim be Eruv as a mixture, and the Kohen can now be Makriv for which animal, which bird for which of the two Yoldos, and he'll make that decision, is because the case that we're dealing with in Kinim is a case of Tnai. The women made a Tnai amongst themselves that whichever bird will be brought by the Kohen for that person, for that woman of the two, will be hers. And the Tnai, once it's fulfilled, establishes which of the two Ophos belong to which of these two ladies. And the reason why this statement of Rabba is so complicated and so challenging, as Tosus points out, is because, that's his Tosus Dibra Maskel Kishe Hisnu, at the bottom of Omer Aleph, is because we still have to come on to Breira. Even if they made a Tanai, and they decided, well, you know what, let's agree that the Kohen will determine which of these birds belongs to which of the two of us, we're still going to have to come on to the sugya and the principle of Breira. The Kohen's decision tomorrow will decide the nature of that kinyan today. That's Breira. How does Tanai solve the problem of Breira? And the one who tries to defend this Gemara, make some sense out of it, is none other than the Ritva. We'll try to understand the Ritva. The Ritva says that Tnai is effective and circumvents the need for Brera, because once they make a Tnai, what they're saying is that the Kinyan itself will only take place at the moment of the Kiyama Tanai. The Kiyama Tanai is when the Kohen will decide which bird of the two will go for which of the two ladies, both in terms of Chatos and in terms of the second Ken of Ola. That's not Brera. Why? Because Brera means that everything was set in stone as far as the Maisa Machayev is concerned, that that action which generates the the legal halachic change has been implemented. And now we don't know, and tomorrow we'll determine which object was included in that original transaction. Now, we're talking about Tanai. Tanai is something different. The ladies actually never made a kinyan from the beginning. What they did was, they made an agreement that the Kohen would make the kinyan on their behalf. So at that very moment in time, when the Kohen decides to be Zoche in one of the Ophos on behalf of Rachel and the other on behalf of Leah, and which of the Ophos will be Mechaper for which of these two ladies, these two Yoldos, we don't need Brera. We're not saying that we're operating with Lemafreya. So it's very fascinating, because according to the Ritva, to some extent, we can completely obviate the problem of Brera as long as we introduce a Tanai. So instead of saying today, you know what, this Shnei Lugim, which is undefined, that will be defined tomorrow, will become Truma, and then we have to introduce Lamafreya with Alocha Brera, what we could do is, we could say, well, tomorrow I'll be Mafresh. But what do you mean tomorrow you'll be Mafresh? You're drinking now from the wine today, on Tuesday. You can't tell me that Wednesday's Hafrasha could make Tuesday's Sias Yayin, Yayin Min Achulin. There was no Hafrasha. So therefore we have no option here, no door to go through and solve the problem without introducing Brera. But in the case of Kinyonim, instead of saying that tomorrow's action and decision will determine the Kinyon today, what we're going to do is we're going to postpone the Kinyon till tomorrow. And the Kinyon tomorrow will be effectuated by the Kohen when he decides to be Zoche on behalf of one or... So that, my friends, is the insight of the Ritva on the difference between Brera and Tanai. So that in Brera we have a Maisa that's undefined. Tomorrow will be defined Lemafreya. And in Tanai, the Maisa is being pushed off. And now the Kohen, when he's ready to do the Akrov, at that time, he's going to do the actual Zechiyah, meaning he's going to, you know, so to speak, lift up the bird on behalf of Leah and the other bird on behalf of Rachel. Ihachi, so Zegmar says, Maila Memra, if you're telling me that this statement of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah in Kedem is based on Tanai and it's not Brera, so what was the Chiddush? And why would anybody even dream of disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara is so convinced that Tanai obviates the problem of Brera. The Gemara says, Komashmalan Kidder Rav Chizda. It's teaching me Halacha, and the Mishnah's Chiddush is in Hilchas Kinim. He bought four Ophos, and they were all mixed together. And then he divides them up into two Kinim. And the intention was that from each ken, each pair separately, there will be a chatos and an ola that's brought, either on behalf of Ruvain, I'm sorry, we're not talking about Zovim now, we're talking about Zovos, either on behalf of Leah or on behalf of Rachel. So we have two kinim, each one has a pair of birds, and each pair will have a chatos and an ola in it, and will designate one pair for the obligation of Rachel, the other for the obligation of Leah. And if not for Rav Chisda, if we did not have our Mishnah, which reflects Rav Chisda, we would have said that since the two kinim were divided up, the kohen does not have the authority to take one ken and split it up and make it into two olos and the other ken two chatos and say, well, this ken has one bird as an ola for Rachel, another bird as a chatos, I'm sorry, as an ola for Leah, and do the same thing with the second ken. However, Amar Rav Chisda has a big chiddush. Ein hakinim misparshos. We don't have to define each ken in and of itself. That one is going to be two birds as an ola, and the other will be two birds as a chatos. But rather, and here we're turning to the Aflamit Zayin Amid Beis, Ela ibel kichas balim ibasias kohen. There are two options. The first alternative is that at the time that the Bala Karbon buys the Ophos, we will say, well, or he will say, I'm taking these two birds, one for Chatos, one for Ola. And therefore, each ken belongs respectively to each one of the two Zavim, Zavos, Yoldos, etc. But Narav Chizda says there's another option. Instead of having Lekichas HaBailim designate an Ola and a Chatos, Basias Kohen, the Kohen at the time of the Akrava, now it's very interesting on the side, this is not critical for us, but you should know that a Kohen usually starts his Akrava with the first of four Avots, which is called Shechita. The alternative or the replacement for Shechita in the case of Ophos is Malika. Anyway, that's not for us now. When the Kohen does Malika on the Ophos, then he could be koveh which Oph is going to be a Chatos and which is going to be an Ola. And the authority of the Kohen generates the Shem Karmon. And not only that, the Bailim could buy Stam, like as a kind of a package agreement of two different Bailim. And it's only afterwards, at the time of what's called the Kriya Shem, which is the moment in which the Kohen implements the Malika, at that point he will determine which is a Chatos and which is an Ola. So that he can look at one Ken, one pair, and say, well, one of those two is a Chatos for her, and the other is a Chatos for her. And therefore, he's basically saying that the Kohen has the authority, says Rav Chisda, to undermine the need to set up two separate kinim, belonging to two, respectively to two separate bailim, but rather he can take from within each ken for both bailim, for both Rachel and Leah. So I will say at the end of the day, just to summarize where we're holding now, the opinion of Rab Yossi, as we saw in the Braisa of Kusim, of Shnei Lugim, is Ein Breira. And the Mishnah in Kinim is based on a different mechanism, which is called Tanai. And even if I hold Ein Breira yet, nevertheless, I validate it Tanai. That's the upshot of everything that we learned so far today. Now we're up to Viakati. We're still not out in the clear. V'chisava Rav Yossi Ein Breira. You're maintaining now, based on the Brisa of Shnei Lugiv of Kusim, that Rav Yossi holds Ein Breira. Atanya, we have a Brisa Ama Oretz She'omar Lechaver. So the Amoretz has no nemunus on Maisris, and he tells the Chaver, who's the Yiri Shamayim, he's believed on Maisris, and the Chaver was on his way to the marketplace to buy vegetables or to buy a loaf of bread. Kachli agudacha shel yeriko gluskachas. Please, once you're there in the market, purchase on my behalf a bundle of vegetables or a loaf of bread. Now, the Chaver, right, the Yirei Shamayim, who's out there in the shuk, so he buys from, you know, whoever's selling in the marketplace. These are amaratzim that are not trusted to have been mafresh maser. So therefore, the status of any purchase of fruits or grains is that of demai. And now, what the chaver failed to do was designate that this bundle of asparagus would be for me. And this bundle I'm buying on behalf of my buddy who's an Amoritz. He didn't specify. And nevertheless, it says in the Braisa, and this is the Braisa of Rabbi Yossi, Eino tzorech li aser. In other words, he will give one bundle of vegetables to the Amoritz and take the other bundle for himself. And he will not be chayv in trumas of maisers on that bundle that he gives and delivers to the Amoritz. Now, again, you might ask me, wait a second, isn't a chaver also to give to an Amoritz peros that aren't misukonim, because he knows that the Amoritz is not trusted to be mafris, trumas, and maisers? So that's going to be a question. We'll get back to that in a minute. So again, he did not specify which bundle is for him, which bundle is for the Amoritz. The bundle that's for the Amoritz does not need afrasha. It'll be mafresh only on his bundle. And now the question is, well, it could be that the bundle that he's giving to the Amoritz is really the one that he bought for himself. The answer is that the purchase and the specification of which bundle belongs to which person, which recipient, is going to be determined tomorrow, later on, after the Mechira, after the Kenya was made, whether it's on behalf, this bundle on behalf of Shimon the Amoritz, or this bundle was my, you know, the Chavir's bundle. And the Mechira now will be determined l'mafreya, retroactively, divrei Rabbi Yossi, because yesh brera. So when he delivers to the Amoritz one of these bundles, or one of these guskos, then huver adovel l'mafreya, that which he bought, that particular bundle, was not the Chaver's bundle at all, it was the bundle for the Amoritz. Now, as far as the question I asked you before, how could it be that the Amoritz is going to receive from a Chaver a bundle that needs Hafrasha, because again, it was bought from an Amoritz, so it's Dmai. And now it would seem that the Chaver is L'chora. Again, this is a side question, but nevertheless a question. He's being machshil the Ani. I'm sorry, he's being machshil the Amoretz in eating Dmai without Hafrasha. So here I can just quote to you the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that the case that we're talking about is that the Amoritz who's receiving that bundle of vegetables is an Ani. And Mutal Yoni Lechol Dmai. So the Chaver is not considered being Machshil the Ani in an Isur. And the reason for that is because the Amoritz is an Ani. In any event, we see here that Rabbi Yossi maintains Brera, Chachamim Omer Tzorech Liaser. The Chachamim hold Ein Brera, and therefore could very well be that the section of vegetables that he delivers over to the Amoritz was really the one that he bought for himself, because we cannot say that the delivery tomorrow will retroactively determine the Kenyan of today, and therefore the Chaver is not allowed to give over to the Amoretz a bundle that needs Hafrashas Trumas of Maisras, because the Trumas of Maisras are not going to be taken off, and the Balabayas, the Chaver, has not fulfilled his obligation because ain't Brera. But here clearly Rabbi Yossi says Yesh Brera, and that contradicts Rabbi Yossi's position in the Raisa of Lokeach Lugim, of the Braisa of Shnei Lugim Shani Yosid, where he bought it from the Kusim. So again, you see where a big whiteboard would be very helpful here, because we're listing different Braisas, different cases, and we're trying to figure out where Rabbi Yossi holds on each of these cases. And the Gemara says, Epoch, we have no choice. What we have to do is, we have to switch around the names. Instead of Chachamim Omrim Tzorach Liaser, it should say Rabbi Yossi Omer Tzorach Liaser. And when it says Divrei Rabbi Yossi Eino Tzorach Liaser, that's really the Chachamim Shita. So once again, what we've done is, we've reconciled this Braisa of Ama'oret Sha'omel Chaver, etc., Kachli Aguda Achas, with Rabbi Yossi, by saying that in that case, Ein Brera. And we switch around the names, and Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Brera. And that reflects Rabbi Yossi, consistently with Rabbi Yossi Shita in Lokeach, Lugim, Shel Yayim, and Akusim. But now the Gemara says, wait a minute, I have another Braisa. Toshma, Ha'omer Maser Sheyeshli Bebesi. Now we're talking about Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni needs pigeon, and the monies will be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there, B'Kedusha B'Tara. But now, he doesn't have the money in front of him. So he wants to be Mechalel, his Peros Maser, on money that's not specified. So he makes a declaration. Mechulal al sela shetala biyodi min akis. Whatever I pick up from my pocket, that's going to be the sela. He has many sloim to choose from, but the one he will pick up tomorrow, that will be the one upon which the pigeon of the Maaser Sheni will be chal. And Rabbi Yossi omer mechulal. Rabbi Yossi validates this chil. He can immediately eat the peros as chulin. And tomorrow, when he takes one sela out of his pocketbook, we will now clarify the mafreya retroactively that on this sela there was a chilul, and we see clearly Rabbi Yossi holds yesh brera. So now the Gemara is going to again pull the same methodology. Epoch v'yemer Rabbi Yossi omer lo chilul, says the Gemara. This is getting out of hand. My chazis the ibchus tarte becoming chada, epoch chada becoming tarte. We now have one Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi commits himself to hold Ein Brer. We had a brisa of Ama Oretz, Sha'ama Lechover, Kachlia, Gudach, Ashel Yerek, that Rabbi Yossi holds Yesh Brer. We now have a brisa that says, Omer Master Shani Shesu, Basim Chula, Sela Shatala Biyadi. And Rabbi Yossi validates that pigeon and holds Yesh Brera. You have two brisos against one Mishnah. Why should we say Epoch on two brisos against the Mishnah? Why not say the other way around? Maybe the Mishnah made a mistake, and we should change the names of the Mishnah. Now that we have evidence from not one brisa but two brisos that Rabbi Yossi validates Brera. So the Gemara answers, Ha Vadai Ibcha, the Braisa of Machal Maaser Sheni, for sure I'm going to prove to you, Minei Ubei, that it's a Shibush. There's an incorrect transmission in the Braisa, we have to say April. I'm going to prove it to you from this Braisa itself. The Katani Seifa, because until now we only read the Reish of the Braisa. Now let's read the Seifa, the Braisa. The Seifa, the Braisa says, Umo de Rab Yossi. Be Omer Maser Sheyeshli Besof Besi Yehe Mechulol Al Sela Chadosha Shetale Biyodi Minakos Shechilel. Now let's go through this Sefer carefully. It says Umode Rab Yossi. And at the end of the day, whatever the case is, we'll go through the details in just a minute. It says Shechilel, that the pigeon is valid. Mo de Rabbi Yossi, in the following case, that the pigeon is valid. Implying that in the first case, Rabbi Yossi holds that the pigeon is not valid. And ain't a mechulo. In what case did Rabbi Yossi agree that we don't have a brera issue and therefore the chilul is valid? The person declares that the peros should be mechulel al sela chadosha Minakis. Now, Selach Adosha means a brandly new minted coin. And apparently there was a certain excitement about a new minted coin. It was, you know, had that crisp, you know, goldish or silverish color to it. And He's got one sela in his pocket. There's no brayer over here, because there's no question about it that the chilul will be chal on that one sela chadasha that he has in his pocket. Says the Gemara, Mita komar hocha chilel, since the Braisa records that in this case of sela chadash minakis, the chilul is valid. And this is Moda Reb Yossi, is michlal. You imply that until now, if he didn't have one sela, but he had a whole choice of slime, which he's going to choose tomorrow, which one of them is for pigeon, is hasam lo chilel. It would not be a valid chilel. So we see clearly from this price that Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera. So now what we have is the Mishnah in Erevin, and that Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yossi, ain Brera. So he cannot just set up an Erev in a very vague way, and he says, well, you know, if the Goyim come from the east, then the Erev on the east should be Chal. If they come from the west, let the Erev on my west side be Chal. No. Rabbi Yossi is going to reject that. And he's going to invalidate that Eruv. And we saw also that in the case of Shnei Lugim, there explicitly Rabbi Yossi's name is mentioned. See, in our Mishnah, we don't have Rabbi Yossi mentioned. It's only Rabbi Yehuda. But we have Rabbi Yossi mentioned in the Braisa of Shnei Lugim. And that's the case of Kusim and Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Shimon Osrim, and they don't recognize that afrasha that's undetermined. We have now a second brisa of Masa Sheyeshli Bebesi Bechul Al Sela Shetala Biyadi Minakis, and Rabbi Yossi now we're going to have to say Ibcha. We have no choice, so he says it's an invalid chilul, because he's going to decide tomorrow which one of the slime he's going to choose. Now we have 2 out of 3 in favor of Rabbi Yossi holding Ein Brera. Aye, the case of Omer L'Chaver, Kachli Aguda Achas Shel Yerek. And there, Rabbi Yossi is quoted as saying, Eino Tzarech Li'aser, meaning that we will apply Brera. That's Epuch. So we're only sacrificing one brisa on the Mizbeach of Epuch for the sake of defending Rabbi Yossi as he's recorded in 2 brises. But now let's get back to the Sefer. Hi, Selech Hadosh Eichidomi Idi Katarti Tlas is the Eish Brera, is Hainu Kamaisa. If he has more than one Selech Hadosh in his pocket, so again you're back to Brera. Which one of the Slayim is he going to choose tomorrow and set it up as a pigeon of the Maisa Sheni? Elo Delek Alechada, if it's only one, is in my tala? What kind of language is it to say tala minakis? What do you mean tala minakis? He's only got the word tala means you have a couple of different things in your pocket. One comes up when you lift it up, but you don't use the word tala when there's only one coin in your pocket. Furthermore, and here I want to share with you the insight of Tosfos Dibur Maskil Deleka. What would be the chiddush for Rabbi Yossi to kilu be mod, I concede to you, in a case where he only has one cell in his kiss? What's the chidush? So Tosus points out that we should have, or we could have applied Xera, that if we're going to allow him to do this thing when he has one cell in his kiss, maybe he'll come to do it when he has many slim in his kiss. But what we're stuck with is the language tala, my tala. So my answer is either Tony Reisha Tala, Tony Sefer Nami Tala. In the Reisha, where he said Mechulal, and he has many different Tzloim in his kiss, and he decides that he's going to be Mechalan on one particular Sela from many, many choices that he has, then the word Tala is appropriate. So in the Sefer, just to maintain the symmetry of the Braisa, he uses the word Tala. So bottom line is, Maskana Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera. Now the question is the following. And this is the turning point for the rest of our study today. Is it possible that we could be mechalek between Doraisas and Darabonis? Maybe Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera in a case of a Doraisa. But in a case of a Darabonin, perhaps he can accept Brera. And the key case that we're going to have in mind is Erevin, because we're going to assume now that Erev Tchumen is the Rabbanon, if Tchumen is the Lav Doraisa. And the question is, if he sets up an Erev in a Brera situation, can we say, all right, Ein Brera on a Doraisa level? So, for example, you're talking about Trumas of Maisers or Pidja Maisers Sheni, we're dealing with Doraisas. But in the case of an Erev Tchumen, if assuming it's the Rabbanon, maybe now we can say everybody agrees Yesh Brera. Amalei Rav Ol Rav Nachman Man Hai Tana Dafilu B'Derabbanon Lesle Brera, which is the Tana of the Braisa that we're about to quote, that holds that even in something that's only Derabbanon, like Erevin, we still reject Brera. Who is that Tana? Implying, says Rav, that there could be a middle of the road compromise shita, that even if I reject Brera on a Doraisa level, but I would accept Brera for Derabbanon's. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Omer Lechavisha Hareini Ma'arev Al Eze Michem She'erze. A man appoints himself as a big shot, and he says, I'm going to put down an Erev over here, and I'll decide later on which of my buddies I want this Erev to be Chal for. Ratzisi Yelech. Ratzisi Lo Yelech. I mean, which one do I want to say that if I decide that he can use this Erev and go Chutzutchum, then he'll go Chutzutchum. But if I decide that this guy, the other four guys, they don't have the option of using that Erev Lo Yelech. Ratza Mibidom. So the Braisa establishes that if he makes his decision, this Mr. Big Shot, right before the onset of Shabbos, and he says, you know what, let Reuven avail himself and enjoy the benefits of this Erev, Eruv or Eruv, then it's valid. But Mishachashecha, if he thinks this Ibrachachon, that after Shabbos begins, he's going to make the decision which of these five Joes, which of these five candidates is going to have the benefit of the Eruv, is it Eruv or Eruv? He can't decide today on Shabbos L'mafreya that at Ben HaShmoshos, in the onset of Shabbos, this Eruv was designated for Reuven. No, he can't do that because ain't Brera. And now we're dealing with the Drabanon. So who is the Tana that went so far, asks Rava, to Rav Nachman, and maintained that Ein Brera, not only in the Doraisa, but even in the Drabanon, Ishtik V'lom Alei Midi, Rav Nachman had no answer. So Gemara asks, well, what do you mean Rav Nachman had no answer? V'lem Alei Tana Debei Ayo, who, remember the Brice that we discussed yesterday, the name of Ayo, and that Tan of Ayo, according to Rabbi Yehuda, had established on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis that Ein Brera Linyan Eruv, and even though Eruv is the Rabbanon. So the answer is Lo Shmi'alei. Rav Nachman didn't hear about the Brais of Ayo. The truth is, you and I wouldn't have heard about the Brais of Ayo except that it was published in Masechta Eruv. But at the time of Rav Nachman, there was no publication of Masechta Eruv. Rav Yosef Omar, I don't understand why Rav Nachman couldn't figure out that if you hold Ein Brera Doraisa, then Ein Brera Drabonon. Tanoi Shachles Me Alma? Are you getting rid of all the Tanoim in the world? You couldn't find one Tano who holds Ein Brera even in Anisa Drabonon? Tanoi! I'll quote you a Braisa, and at least one of the Tanoim in the Braisa maintains that Ein Brera even on a Drabonon level. And the case of the Braisa is a person left an Erev at the end of the Tchum in a very safe place. And he left it there in order to be Ma'arev for all the years, all the Shabbos of the whole year. And he declared, Hareini Ma'arev l'Shabbos shel kol ha'shana. And Ratzisi Eilich, lo Ratzisi, lo Eilich. He made the following declaration. On every single Shabbos for the rest of the year, I will make my decision whether I want to go Chutz L'Tchum and my Erev should be Kona for me. And if there's a Shabbos where I don't want to go Chutz L'Tchum, I don't want the Erev to be Chal because I don't want to lose the Alpayim Amma that he's allowed to go from all sides of the city, outside the bounds of the city. If the Erev be valid, he's only allowed to go 2,000 Amos in any direction from the Erev. Is Ratzah Mibratzah? If he wants to go Chutz L'Tchum, Mibod Yom, before Kedish Shabbos, Eruv, Eruv. Mishachashecha, if he only decides after nightfall on Shabbos that he does want to use and benefit from the Eruv, is Rav Shimon Omer, ein Eruvo Eruv. Meaning that Rav Shimon holds that just like Ein Brera on a Doraisa level, we can apply Ein Brera even on a Drabana level and invalidate the Eruv. Chachomer, ein Eruvo Eruv. I'm sorry. My mistake. Rav Shimon holds Eruvo Eruv. I did an Epoch, sorry. And he holds that the Eruv is valid. And we're going to say, Huvrala Dovrala Mafreya, that his das on Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmoshes, was to use the Erev and go 2,000 Am in that direction. Chachomam Ein Eruv Erev. Which means that there's no valid Brera, Ein Brera. So we see that there's a machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Chachomam where there's Brera on the Drabonon. And the Chachomam, in fact, hold that even if you might logically be influenced by Rav Shimon and say, well, we're down to the level of Drabonon, let's allow for Brera and validate Brera's name. Ain Brera consistently, not on a Doraisa level and not on a Drabonon level. Now again, the whole sugya assumes here from A to Z that Chumen is only Drabonon. Otherwise, there'd be no proof from the Chachamim by invalidating this Erev based on Brera. It's because Ein Brera on a Darabana level. This must be a Darabana level. You can't say it's Doraisa. Now, Rabbi Yosef is going to raise a question here on this Braisa. V'ashamina le'le Rav Shimon de'les le'Brera. How could it be that in this Braisa, Rav Shimon is quoted as saying Eruvo Eruv, and the Eruv is valid even though it's predicated on Brera, which means on Shabbos he decided, yes, I want to use and rely on this Eruv, and we're going to go with Mafreya. But we know that Rav Shimon holds less lay Brera, right? There was a Brice that we had of Lokeach Yayin, and there we put Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon together as both invalidating his Afrasha because Ein Brera is Kashi Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon Ela Epoch. So we're going to have to really change the language here. We're going to have to assume that Rav Shimon is the one who invalidates the Erev because Ein Brera. So the Gemara now asks, why are you setting up a stira here, Rav Yosef, between two statements of Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon's original statement, in the case of Lokeach Yayim and Akusim, that's on a Doraisa level. We're dealing with Tevel Doraisa, now for us it's Truma and Truma's Meiser and the whole bit. But here we're dealing with Erev. And it's very possible that a person wants to decide on Shabbos that he wants the Eruv and so forth, that would be valid because it's only a Drabonon. We're holding that Chumen is Drabonon. So my kasha, why is Rav Yosef so up in arms here to the point to which he has to establish Epoch? Dilma, ki lesle the Rav Shimon Brera v'doraisa v'drabonon isle. Make that simple distinction. And the Gemara answers, because some Rav Yosef, mind the isle Brera, loshna doraisa, loshna rabonon isle. Mind the lesle Brera, loshna doraisa, Veloshna the Rabbanon, Lesle. Rav Yosef never entertained this middle of the road compromise shita that you could be Machal Pshina Dorais the Rabbanon. In the mindset of Rav Yosef, it was crystal clear. Either we take a position of Ein Brera, and that's going to apply even to the Rabbanon, so Yesh Brera, and that applies even to Dorais. So therefore, Rav Shimon is now in a stira. And from the fact that Rav Shimon holds, in the case of Lokeach Yayin, Ein Brera Doraisa, therefore in the case of Erev, you also have to hold Ein Brera, even on the Dorabonon level. However, Rava says, I have an alternative way of reconciling Rabbi Shimon, the two statements of Rabbi Shimon. And we've already clarified from the Brice of Erevin that if you don't say Epoch, Rabbi Shimon holds Yesh Brera, and he could decide on Shabbos whether he wants the Erev of Erev Shabbos or not. Then you can ask me, well, if Rabbi Shimon holds Yesh Brera, why is it that in the Braisa of Alokeach Yayim and Akusim, Rabbi Shimon torpedoes, undermines the entire Hafrasha if he holds Yesh Brera? The answer is there's another condition in Hafrasha. Shiny Hasim to be Inan Rashis. Which means that when the Torah describes Truma, it's called Reishis Ariso Sechem. And Reishis Ariso Sechem means that there's a Reishis and an Achris. It's like if I say this is the head of of the serpent, then you know that there's a tail to the serpent, right? So Rashis means that in this Truma you've set up what's called Shirayim. Shirayim means that which is Chulin and is not included in the Afrash of Rashis. Shiyam Nikarim. So there's Halacha in Truma, in Tvarim Perkid Alf, Rashis, the Ganchav, Asiroshcha, etc. And we're going to derive from that word Rashis, that immediately when he's Karashem Truma, we now can look at the rest of the pile of fruits and vegetables and grains and know that that's Chulin. That's called Shirayim Nikarim. So when a person is Lokeach Yayim Ibein Akusim, and he doesn't clarify which is Truma, then even if I hold Breira, but Breira is not going to solve the problem of Rashis, the requirement, the condition of Rashis means that right now with my Afrasha immediately, I can point to Truma, and I can point to Shirayim, to the rest that's Chulin. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rava, Elamiyata, according to your logic, that there's a new halacha, a new condition, that Kriya Shem requires Shirayim Nikarim, is Hayulafon of Shnei Rimonim Shel Teva. What would be in a case where he has two pomegranates of Teva, the Omar, and he makes the declaration, Im Yeredu G'sham Hayom, if the rains will fall today, Yezeh, this one on the right side will be Truma, and the one on the left side will be Chulin, and Alzeh, the other one, it would be Chulin, or the opposite. He says, "In lo yerdug shamayom, if rains don't come, and yezed this rimon on the other side will be truma for this one, and this one will be Chulin." Ochinami, are you going to tell me that ben yerdu ben lo yerdu ain't dvar klum? That it's irrelevant to as to whether or not his condition came to fruition, and in all cases his truma is not valid because there's no shirayim nikarim. What do I know? When the rains will fall, the rains won't fall. V'chitei mochinam, and if Abai says to Rav, you'll admit to me, you'll defend yourself by saying, enochinami, in such a case, the whole Truma is out, because there's no Shirayim Nikarim v'atznan. We have a mission in the third parak of Trumas. Ha'omer Truma sakriya zel masroso v'socho. If a person has a pile of grains, and he's koreshem Truma, and Maestros, for that tefuah that's in the middle of this pile, such that he can now enjoy the benefits of taking away the other grains that are on the outside. Or he says, V'chein ha'omet trumas maser zebetocho, or in the middle of this big pile of grains, this should be trumas maser. Is Rabbi Shimon omer karashem? Rabbi Shimon says it's a valid afrasha, and the truma and the meister is chal. Now wait a second. What do you mean the truma and the meister is chal? You just told me, Rava, that Rabbi Shimon holds that in the case of the purchase from the guy of Shnei Lugim, that's not Shirayim Nikarim. Here also it's not Shirayim Nikarim. Yeah, he's got this whole gigantic kree, this whole pile, and he says somewhere in the middle there'll be Truma, there'll be Trumas Maser. Well, it's not Shirayim Nikarim. Shani Hacha De'ika Svivav. The Gemara answers that that's the only case in which Rabbi Shimon validates the Hafrash and the Kriya Shem. Why? Because I could see clearly on the outside of this kree that we have here Chulin, we have here Shirayim Nikarim. Why? Because he said the word bitocho. Right? He said, Trumas Akriya Zeh Masrosov bitocho. Trumas Maisa Zeh bitocho. And the word bitocho means on the inside, not on the outside. Bitocho means somewhere in the middle of this kree. So the tfua that's all around on the outer skirts, outskirts of the kree, that's Vare Chulin. But in the case of Lokech Yayim Ibein Akusim, there's no Shirayim Nikarim at all. He's only going to decide tomorrow which Yayim he's going to designate as Truma and as Trumas Mas. Therefore, that Afrash is Nachal according to Rav Shimon. Ibois Ema. Now the Gemara wants to offer another alternative way of reconciling the two statements of Rav Shimon. And really, Reb Shimon holds Yesh Brera. And now we have to come up with another explanation as to why, in the case of Lokeach Yayim Ben Akusim, Rabbi Shimon completely invalidates the Afrosha. Kidiktoni Taimov, because we have a Brisa that gives another reason. Amru Lo, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, who disagree with Rabbi Meir, they said to Rabbi Meir, how could you be Mata drinking the wine based on the future Afrosha that he's going to be Mafit Shumas and Maisus tomorrow? Iatomode Shemi Boka Nod. Even if you're going to tell me, okay, Yesh Brera, tomorrow he's going to decide, L'mafreya, which Yayin was separated as Truma Samaisa. But wait a minute, you have to admit to me that there's a statistical possibility that this barrel or this cask of wine is going to break. And if it breaks, Nimtze Zeh Shoset Tvolu L'mafreya, he won't be able to mafish any of the Yayin as Truma, etc. And therefore, everything that he's eaten, or he's drunk to be more, is all teva. So again, I might hold, like you, Rabbi Meir, Lishitosko, we don't agree with you, Rabbi, but even according to your Shita of Meir, that we're going to apply L'mafreya and Brera, Yesh Brera, but don't you have to be afraid? How are you allowing it to drink the wine immediately? Maybe the cask of wine will completely smash, all the wine is going to get spilled out. You'll never be able to be Mafish Trumas and Meisters because it's all gone. It's all absorbed into the ground. And now, the wine that you drank was Tevel. Amalehem. So Rabbi Meir responds, Lichshi Baka. It's a kind of a facetious statement. You know what? I'll worry about it when it happens. In other words, it's not common and we don't have to anticipate the possibility that the casket will break. That's not on my radar screen. Now the Gemara asks the kash on the brisa, on the original answer. Ulamai dosaika daitach made kar devina reishis sheshiyareni karm, according to Rava's explanation that the reason why Rabbi Shimon invalidated the truma in Shnei Lugim when he bought it from the kusi is because reishis teaches me that you need shiyarem nikarim. And now, the svar of Rabbi Meir is not because we're afraid that the casket might break, but rather we need, not Rabbi Meir, I mean to say the Tanoim rejected Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the Truma is valid and Yesh Brera, we're not afraid that the casket will break. But according to the Tanoim, if we assume like Rava, that the only problem with this Truma is not the issue of maybe the node will break, but rather, because we need that immediately with the Kriya Shem, we know Nikar, which is Truma, which is Shirayim, is Maika Amri Le. How are we going to understand that which Rabbi Meir, that which the Tanoim said to Rabbi Meir, Iyatamod Hashemi Yibaka Anod? They disagree with Rabbi Meir because you don't have Shirayim Nikarim. So why did they say to him, well, don't you agree that maybe the cask will break? So the Gemara says, Hochi Komarle, Lidi Dan, we have no compunctions, we have no hesitations, inhibitions, we know that this Truma is not valid. Why? Being unracious, Shishirei Nikarim, we don't have Shirei Nikarim, but Lidi Doch, according to you, here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Iyatomode, Shema Yiboka Hanod, Vinimsa, Shoset Volum Afreya. Okay, you want to hold Yesh Brera, and you want to hold that you don't need Shirayim Nikarim. So you've covered your and validated this truma on all levels of Doraisa. But what about a chash that maybe the cask will break? Amalehem, and he answered to them, Lichshei Baka. And this Rabosai ends our daf for today. Tomorrow we start the Mishnah here on the second line of Daf Lamed Ches, which is going to deal with the case of Yontif that falls out on a Friday or on a Sunday. And now he wants to set up a tchum, an Erev tchum for both days, for both Shabbos and for Yontif. And the question is, can he set up two separate Erevin? One Erev Michal going into Yontif on a Thursday, for example. The other Erev will be Chal going into Shabbos on Friday afternoon.